Welcome to the U-Turn Podcast. This is the place to connect to who you truly are. We're bringing PhDs, experts, and leaders to help you elevate your mindset in your work life and in your love life so that you can see things differently and truly love your world. I'm Ashley Stahl. I'm a career expert, author, and TEDx speechwriter and booker, and I'm excited to bring you in to this week's episode. Okay, U-Turn friends, it's Ashley Stahl here, and you know how much I love my network and my friends. And today, my dearest friend, Sarah Stewart, was so impacted by someone I'm bringing on the show. It's John Amaral. He's an energy practitioner, an author, an educator, and he's also the founder of the Energy Flow Formula, which is a somatic energy healing practice. So he originally trained as a chiropractor. He developed his formula over 25 years, working with thousands of people in more than 50 countries. And his clients, his roster is across the board. You've got A-list celebrities, entrepreneurs, athletes, influencers, thought leaders. And he really uses the unique principles of the energy flow formula to help his clients heal physical injuries, reduce stress, anxiety, depression, and just reach and sustain new levels of energy fulfillment so they can live and feel better. So we're going to get into all things energy flow. This is your episode. If that sounds like a yes for you, which how can it not? So John, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Ashley.
Yeah, I remember seeing you speak at Sarah and Craig's house and feeling like Sarah has so many people speak and she works with so many people. And it's very rare that she comes over to me and says like, this one's really special. So I would love to hear about your transition from chiropractor to energy flow formula. Like what percolated for you and what is the basis of this formula?
I started my chiropractic practice. Interestingly, my journey, even as a chiropractor, came out of it was an interesting path because I'd never been to a chiropractor when I went to chiropractic college. I was a fine art major, and through a bunch of different synchronicities and sort of coincidences, I ended up taking an anatomy course. In there, the instructor was a retired chiropractor, and one thing led to another, and I ended up in chiropractic college where I met my wife, whose father was a medical doctor, mom was a nurse, and she had this really profound experience with going to a chiropractor who was using a more energetic approach. It wasn't like popping or cracking the bones, but was doing more light touch stuff. So she introduced me to this, and so my first experience of chiropractic was this like a more energetic approach. And I had very severe allergies and eczema and asthma and these conditions that I would not have linked to anything going on. Like, why would you see a chiropractor if you have asthma, you know, or if you have eczema? But these conditions that I was experiencing started clearing up. And this person that I was seeing was doing almost, they were barely touching my body. And so I had a really profound and direct experience that while I was in chiropractic college led me to, even when I got into my practice, which is now 27 years ago, I had a practice for 22 years before I went off and started to do retreats and events and private clients only about 8 years ago. But I had an experience as I was starting to work with people in my practice where I was already looking at things from a more energetic perspective. So energetic meaning rather than looking at the mechanics and looking at what was misaligned or what needed to move from one position to another, you really start looking at what's the context for this injury someone's experiencing, these symptoms around. What was going on in their life when that happened? What emotionally were they maybe feeling when that experience happened? Was this related to or in somehow connected to some other pattern that happened maybe earlier in their life? In my case, the asthma, allergies, and eczema all started when I was at an age when I was experiencing a lot of emotion, but in my family, that was, it was all repressed. So nobody was discussing it. Nothing was really being expressed. So all this energy has to go somewhere if it can't emote or express out. So it gets contained. And in my case, it turned into these inflammatory expressions. So I started to, through working more energetically, experiencing more energetic work on myself, I started to link these things together. I started to heal. And then I brought that into my practice as I started working with people. So I would ask, you know, what was your birth like? What was, do you know anything about your birth process? when this whiplash, for example, happened, what was going on in your life? Okay, you were going through a relationship challenge, or you're going through a divorce, or something happened, and then this injury happened, but there was an emotional charge and a lot of intensity around it that then got expressed more through somatically through the body. And then we would start to trace it to help bring someone's awareness of what was happening in their bodies and what was happening in their lives together. And then you can start to dismantle a lot of the story around people's symptoms, and you can start to help them heal, which is far beyond just like working with the mechanics. I don't know if that specifically yeah. answered your question. I went into a few areas, but my own experience, my own journey, and then also how that started to weave into how I would approach clients. That started really early on in my practice. And so the formula sort of developed out of seeing these patterns over and over and over. And then over decades, starting to see, oh, every time I notice this going on in the body, they're holding a pattern like this. The muscle tone in the area feels like this. The spinal structure feels like this. The curves are doing that. I would link it to their history. I would link it to conversations we were having. And I would start to see, oh, there are very dominant patterns that exist in all of these people. And there are some sort of repeated patterns that they see over and over. Feeling of victimization or loss, fear of the future, fear in general, loss of trust, feeling overly responsible, duties and responsibilities, going into the sort of cognitive thinking linear mind as a way to avoid feeling.
Right.
And they have physical patterns associated with them, and they have energetic and physical kind of distortions that are present. And once you start to see these patterns over and over, you're like, oh, okay, I know this pattern. And then I can address it, you know, working with the person and talking to the person, et cetera. So that's how it sort of developed. And then you formalize it as, oh, I see a trend over and over and over. That's a pattern. I can come up with a formula for how to approach that.
Yeah. Okay. So a couple questions as it relates to like storing things somatically. So I've been a tooth clencher in my sleep forever.
Yeah.
I've worked on anxiety. I've gotten certified in meditation. I've gone to therapy. I've even taken anti-anxiety medication at points. And I've been so committed to my healing most of my life. And even with the anxiety, when my mind feels at peace, my body has like a slight sensation of, I don't want to say hyperventilating because that's too extreme, but these deep sighs of trying to let out energy. And it's almost, I feel like for some people listening, like no matter what I do, no, I can't meditate my way out of it. What would your feedback be for someone listening who's, yeah, I clenched my teeth and like I had to get a few teeth like implanted because back when I scaled my e-learning company, you as well?
No, I'm just saying, were you grinding? I'm grinding.
In my sleep. So it feels almost like sometimes the somatics of my body have their own way with me and I don't want to be a victim to them, but I also don't know how to kind of like unsubscribe from it when I've done so many things. And sometimes I feel, you know, in personal development, there's so much doing that the actual work is not trying to be anyone but yourself and accept yourself. So it's like, what would be your message for somebody listening who's feeling like I close my eyes and clench my teeth, whether I consciously am doing it or not? There seems like there's so much unconscious somatic, I don't want to say damage, but I mean, kind of, yeah, it's like a damage to my teeth and to my jaw and to my headaches, you know. What would be your starting thoughts on for someone who maybe is experiencing something of this nature?
I mean, I'm glad you brought this up. I think in my experience, you know, the body really will express what is in a way a truth, because your mind can come up with conceptual, you know, meanings and beliefs and stories that might not match, you know, what is physiologically going on. I think there are, if you think about like clenching and, you know, biting down and chewing and gnawing in the jaw, the jaw is so connected to the, you know, to the limbic and the whole emotional system. I mean, your digestive system, your gut, your enteric nervous system is really linked into the jaw as well, because you chew, you masticate, you swallow, all of those like primal reflexes, which are connected into the vagus nerve and which is related to some very primal ways that we process stress and how we open up as well. So a lot of the clenching and holding in the jaw is the sympathetic nervous system that's still on, that's still going, that's still processing, even though you're not consciously aware of it. I mean, some people are consciously aware of it, but it can be going on at night. the body's got to try to dissipate that energy or that charge from the stress that's going on in the system somehow. So it's going to try to give it some outlet. So in my case, initially when I was younger, it was my body would erupt in inflammation in my skin, or my asthma was a, you know, constriction of the airways, the muscles would tighten. So the body's trying to discharge that energy somehow. So the grinding of the teeth is a way to kind of clench down. It also tightens up the upper neck, the upper cervical area where the brain comes out of your cranium and the spinal cord comes down through the little hole, the foramen in the bottom of your skull. So a lot of pressure and tension is created up in that area. And it's one of the patterns that I found in working with people over decades is that that upper neck area, especially the first couple vertebrae, is very tied into when the analytical mind, the sort of the thinking mind overrides the emotional expression. So instead of, so you're having a strong feeling, and instead of that energy getting discharged through some kind of sigh, moan, groan, discharge that's shaking, vibrating, somehow expressing through the body, it gets consolidated into a tension pattern, somaticized, we call it. And then you're holding. And then you can only hold for so long. The body needs to still discharge that energy. So like grinding and...
Right. I'm even grinding as you're talking. I'm like, I just caught it. We're so automated.
So one of the things you can do even is just to first recognize, awareness is the key. Yeah. It's the initial key. You have to bring something into awareness. If you're going to change a pattern, you have to be aware of it. So awareness is going on, but then awareness of the sensations, the qualities, the senses in your body, in that region, that's another kind of awareness, a somatic type of awareness. So you have awareness that you're doing it. That's step one. You have awareness that you have sense of the sensations and qualities in your body. That's two. And then an awareness of what it might be related to, specific things that you can trace it to. So what triggered the reactive response? Are you aware of, was it a conversation you had? Was it something that is like going on in the background, kind of an app that's running, something with family, something with a loved one or with a partner, something that you haven't completed, that you are feeling stress around, time pressure around, something that you're denying within yourself, but is like working on you internally that you aren't dealing with. And so your system is in a internalization of a process, but you haven't taken action and dealt with it, or you haven't expressed and allowed it to ripple out and move through your body. So that anxiousness, that feeling of kind of a hyperventilating, you can't quite get enough breath.
Yeah.
You know, is typically it's a sympathetic response. So your system is like in this sympathetic mode. So that means it's in fight or flight mode. Mm-hmm. And that's typically where people feel that they feel that irritation. Sometimes you go into a freeze mode, which mm-hmm. is considered what's called the dorsal vagal. So this like deeper, like almost like play dead. If you were a possum or something, you just shut down altogether. It's you don't have you exhaust your fight or flight mode, and then you move into this like shutdown mode. And that's where you almost feel like totally lethargic, or you feel apathetic. You can't even generate the energy to get off the couch, for example. Sometimes the jaw will freeze up. It's just everything just freezes. And now you're just trying to contain or hold everything together.
Yeah.
And that's where I experience in working with people a lot of the anxiety. Mm. They're experiencing, they're trying to hold everything together and keep it stable. Mm. It's like you're feeling so much. There's so much going on. It feels like it's overwhelming in certain areas, but no, but you're an achiever. You make it happen. You're going to find a solution. You're resourceful. So it doesn't make sense to just lay there and whimper or whine, to your thinking mind at least, or cry or moan or express in a way that feels feeble, helpless, etc. And so it's that tone or that charge doesn't get expressed. And then the energy cannot really discharge fully through the body, because your body and brain knows if the expression is a match, or if it's you just generating sounds. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Like for emotion to express. So let me clarify, for emotion to really express through the body, you need a couple of things. You need tone, vibration, or sound, and you need movement. Mm. So if you're feeling something intensely, whether you're aware of it or not consciously, if you're feeling something, you're involved in something that feels like overwhelming in some way, and you're not connecting to it through the body, feeling the sensations, and then allowing that to express in the actual tone or quality that is the authentic sort of essence of it, then it doesn't get matched and the system will redirect that energy into a somatic pattern.
So that's the question I have, is a couple things. So I think first thing you were pointing out for people to reflect, like, where does this come from? Is there an app running in the back of your life? Is the app in the form of your family or some recurring experience that you're constantly having? Or is it just like a one-off? Is it a little bit of weather, you know, something floating through? But I think for me, a lot of people are probably listening and thinking, I don't know, but I want to just encourage everyone to trust whatever comes forward, because we're so much more in touch with ourselves than we give ourselves credit for when we decide to tune in. And I think for me, growing up with a dad who is an amazing dad and like his whole business had shut down, he almost claimed bankruptcy. I think I've probably, like, my intuition told me I've been clenching my teeth ever since, because I used to go to bed at night scared we wouldn't have a home. And it's interesting, because what this brings up for me that I want to ask you about is just this sense of safety that I think a lot of people are seeking, whether it's in their romantic relationship, their career, their finances, themselves. And I know in self-development, we're like, there's a safety that is untouchable inside of yourself. But I also know we live in a very real world where you can't pay your rent. It's really hard to feel free and liberated. I want to talk a little bit about safety and the transformative flow state that you have. So just both of those things, like anything you have to say for people who don't feel safe in their life, don't feel safe with themselves.
Yeah, I think that, again, I really love that you're bringing this up, because this experience of whether I'm safe or unsafe, we can tease apart, because there's safety. Are you physically safe in the environment you're in right now? Or is there a danger that whatever, an abusive relationship that someone who could actually be in their physical harm? Are you in an area of the world that is unsafe? So there's a reason to be on guard and be vigilant in certain cases, for sure. And our body's wired. We have, you know, millions of years of wiring that make sure that we are on and alert, and we're picking up all of this information that our conscious mind isn't even picking up. It's about 11 million bits of information coming into your, you know, system at any given time, but you're only consciously aware maybe 40 or 50. So there's so much that your system is actually processing and picking up, but it very, very little goes into your conscious awareness. So it's critical, like you said, to listen to and be attuned to the subtle information and the feedback. You know, Gavin De Becker wrote a book, The Gift of Fear, which was really talking about this, like that, you know, and you have to listen to that knowing. So that's primal and that's primary, that you listen to that. However, that can get convoluted sometimes, where people don't know, am I really in danger, or is this just my mind, right, you know, creating this apprehension? And so when you feel or experience instability, this conceptual like experience that, hey, I might not be okay, I might not be able to pay my bills, what will happen if XYZ happens? And then you start to go on these kind of conceptual journeys. That is not this, it can create the same physiology in your body, but it's not the same thing happening. So like I've worked with people. I worked with someone who was literally a billionaire. He sold the majority stake in the company. So he was completely out. And for the first time in his life, he wasn't generating income. So now he was in his late 60s. And so he was quote unquote retired, and he went into a vigilance and a reactivity as if it was life and death, because this feeling or experience that it's running out and I might not have enough. And he knew, obviously, it wasn't logical or rational, but there was a visceral response as if, okay, I'm not generating now, so that means it's going away. And that feeling of things lost, impending doom, impending loss, potential negative things that could happen can impact the nervous system exactly in the same way as if that actually lack of safety is there. So we want to tease it apart and say, are you actually physically safe in this moment now? And so you want to look around in your environment. Can you create an environment for yourself, or acknowledge in the moment that you are safe in this environment? Or if you really aren't physically safe, remove yourself if that's possible. And then you know, okay, I know actually I am safe in this moment. The future and the things that I'm concerned about, they're not happening. There's always a potential. There's uncertainty. There's a potential that these things could happen. Something could happen. Something negative could happen. We can't control that. But if we come to the present right now and we assess, what's the state of my body? What's the state in my environment? And you start to kind of tease those things apart, then you can start to separate, okay, this is a physiological response that's going on in my body. I'm in a reactive state. Now I can start to work with that. It's not the external environment. It's the state I'm in and what's happening in that. And now we can start to like work on that. So that's the first thing, because a lot of people, what happens, it gets confused where you feel like, oh my God, this is real. This is happening. What? No, I got this notice in the mail, or no, I'm told that this is happening. That money's gone. You know, I had another client who in like a moment lost his entire life savings. This was like over $10 million instantly wiped out in a trade deal. They were in a position and it, gone. And that was his like security and stability in his mind. But in the rest of his life, he was, you know, it wasn't impact. It was just like, it was his future stability in his mind. So as soon as that sense of future stability in his mind was gone, he went into, of course, major distress. So we had to build back that your life isn't in danger. You're in, you know, you now you're in a, you're in a state of future and anticipation of a future where you don't have this because now it is gone. But how is that going to impact your physiology now and going forward? And then we have to like now come up with a strategy to start to bring you into the present and start to let it emerge and unfold. And so that's a big part of helping people to find the difference between safety and security and actual physical reality. Are you safe, or the feeling or sense that I'm not, or I'm not going to be, which are two different things, but have the same response in the body. If that makes sense.
Okay. So I know that you talk a lot about, once we have this awareness, like transformation. So obviously it's interesting because we live in a world where there's so much awareness. And speaking of safety, this morning, actually, I moved into a new house in LA and I heard through my office window, like domestic violence. I don't remember the last time I really heard that. You know, it's like, it was so violent. It was so dramatic. I thought they were practicing lines for a movie. Cause I was like, this is LA, who knows? And my nervous system has, and I feel like this is what a lot of people go through, is they catch energy around them and they feel revved up for the day. So all morning I went to the gym. I called the sheriff on them. I hope that it helped. I hope the guy's not retaliating because they showed up. Like I'm, you know, but I felt these nerves in me all morning. And I think a lot of people get that energy transfer from other people's realities. It's like their aura brushes off on them. What would be a good way to even navigate your energy with that? And then talk to me a little bit about getting into a flow state.
You know, what you're describing, where you feel that and experience that energetically, it's hitting your system and you're feeling that dissonance and that, you know, concern. And, you know, we're beings that are wired to be in community. We're wired to find connection and safety with others. And if we don't, then we start to, you know, close off and we start to feel like it's not safe, you know, to connect with other people because it's an unsafe world out there. And there are people that are, you know, beating people up and there are people that are, abusive, et cetera. I think to notice that your body it's a natural response to go into that recoil and go, I have to protect myself. I'm not safe in the world. So this is where what you can do, like when you feel that frazzle, just that charge, you can recognize and acknowledge, okay, I'm in reaction right now. I'm acknowledging that I'm in reaction and it's a normal response because this is intense. It's an intense thing that's going on. So how can I just acknowledge that it's okay to feel this? You're feeling this. It's a normal thing. You're a sensitive person. You're a sensitive human. You're caring. So you go, okay, I feel all this and this is really affecting me. Now, where do I feel that in my body? Is it in my throat? Is it my heart? Do I feel this like sense of like heaviness or depth? I mean, where did you feel it? Did you feel it in your...
Yeah, my chest. Like yeah. I felt the screaming.
When that screaming hit your nervous system and it hit literally your heart. I mean, there is research. HeartMath has done a good amount of research looking at the relationship between people's the coherence or dissonance between their hearts or between their brain and the hearts of other people. So people can sit in proximity to each other and come into a syncing up. So let's say you're sitting across from me and we're 3, 4, 5 feet away from each other, and we just are connecting with each other. You can see that the people's hearts start to sink into the same rhythm. Mm-hmm. Or you can see one person's brain waves start to sync up to the other person's heart rhythm. These things are affecting us at a distance. It's not like we're just hallucinating it. We're having a response to what's happening in the field, the actual energetics around mm-hmm. us. Mm-hmm. So that's normal. So it's recognizing it's normal. And you can feel that. You might experience it as a collective, you know, just like turning on the news or having conversations, something's going on in the world. And we feel like this heaviness or this like fear. We're connected into that collective field. Mm-hmm. So the first step is just like recognizing and acknowledging you're sensitive. You feel it, it affects you. It's real. And then what do you do now with it? Right. You know, what do you do with the feeling or experience? You know, for you, you felt it in your chest. You felt it in your heart. And then you can even put your hand there. You just put your attention there. You might take a gentle breath and you feel and notice, can I identify the actual feeling? When that hit your nervous system, it's something outside of you, but it's hitting some kind of receptor site, right, in your system that's triggering you in a way. Can you identify it? If you put your hand mm-hmm. there, can you acknowledge, like, what's the sense? What's the first thing that comes to you about that feeling you had? You reported this person. It was intense, you know, as you were experiencing it. And then it like touched your heart in a way. It touched your being in a way. What? Mm-hmm. What is the feeling?
You know, I think it's the same feeling that people get when they don't want to look at someone who's suffering on the street. Mm-hmm. It's like this deeper awareness that the whole world has so much that it needs, like so much help. It's almost like hard to see these sides because I feel like as individuals, we work so hard to feel a sense of peace with ourselves. And then we get exposed to other pains and we have to kind of reface how challenging and painful and hard it can be to be here on this planet. So I think it's like a sadness.
Okay. So sadness. So then put your hand there for a moment or your hands just, and just acknowledge to yourself, you know, I feel a deep sadness.
Yeah.
Feel a deep sadness that this is the state of humanity, or this is like that people are suffering. There's this, that people, I'm listening to these people in their apartment and it's like this person's, they're not even safe in their own home because they're just, or there's so little, you know, awareness there or so little development. That it's just, it's sad. Mm-hmm. And it's not about, it's bringing it back to yourself and feeling how it hits me, because the power is in, where am I? Mm-hmm. You know, how does this affect me? And if you acknowledge what is the truth in a way of what you're feeling, how it somatically hit you, but then turn it from, because you need to turn it from just a feeling of just tightening up, because that's where the anxiousness for a lot of people, it's just a feeling of tightness and rigidity in their body and a lack of deep breath. And you feel that like difficulty getting a breath because there's a feeling there that isn't being expressed. And so you want to bring it back, walk it back from the physical sensation to also what's the sense or feeling that triggered that triggered the reactivity, that triggered the sympathetic, you know, fight flight response, or triggered me to check out and go into a freeze mode. What is it? So if it's sadness, you acknowledge it, like I feel a deep sense of sadness. And then it may just begin to, you'll know if you really connect to it, because your actually body will start to relax a little bit, but then you'll start to actually bubble up some of the quality or feeling or emotion will start to express.
Like tears.
Yeah. You might just find tears happening, or you might find yourself just, if you really, you allow a little bit of sound or tone to emerge or express, mm-hmm. you're not trying to push something out. You're wanting to kind of melt into the experience, that the energy that was bound up in that region, if it's liberated, what would the expression be if the emotional system was able to discharge it? For you, you might let your jaw release, open your jaw a little bit, feel your throat opening, feel the connection between your heart, your throat, your jaw. And there might be an angst or a sense of tone or of a grief kind of feeling that you wouldn't normally allow yourself to do. Cause you went conceptually to, I know that in the world, you know, this is such a challenge, et cetera, but that's conceptual. We need to break it all the way down to the expression through the body without a story. and just let the body have the expression. If you do that, there's a liberation. And the liberation is not through coming up with a better story that makes you feel better. It's just allowing the experience as it is to express so that you don't, you're not trying to be somewhere you're not. So all of the power is in where, what is. It's not in what we want it to be, what we wish it would be, what we hope it would be. It's what is right now in the moment, the true experience that I'm having. And am I experiencing it and expressing it, or am I compartmentalizing it and overriding it? So that's the first, you know, that's the, you know, I said earlier, I said awareness and then self-awareness, just awareness of what's happening. And then awareness of where do I feel that somatically? And then awareness of what's the feeling when expressed through my body? What's the discharge without judging it? And the most super achiever humans have oftentimes the most difficulty being with the experiences of being out of control, feeling, you know, like it's chaotic. It's overwhelming. I feel helpless in this situation. I don't know. I should have all the solutions, but right now I'm just feeling lost. Those are harder experiences to fully immerse yourself with and allow. But paradoxically, in the moment you allow it, it changes.
Right.
As soon as you stop trying to change that, it changes. So as soon as you stop trying to override or compensate for the feeling of the sadness, I'm so sad. It's like, I don't, why is the world like that? And you let yourself go there. Moment later, you're like, you can breathe. And from there, you can be like, all right, now that I'm actually connected, it's changing. And now you might go, okay, what action do I want to take? So we're not talking about staying there and wallowing. It's just allowing yourself to be fully where you are. And that is the same way you can address your jaw. You can put your hands there. You can feel what's going on. You can feel the tightness and you can feel like, why is this happening? What's going on? Like, how, what am I holding on to? Like, I don't know. You could be like, I don't even know. I'm holding my jaw and all it feels like is tight tension. Wow, I must be disconnected to something. And sometimes you just acknowledge, I feel totally disconnected. I don't even know what I'm feeling. And that is a truth. So that steps it down to where now your brain can go, yeah, that was a truth. Good job. Now you're starting to get access. And now what might roll up is just something from your body that just comes up and you're just holding your jaw and you might feel like, it's all just feels like it's too much. And what's under that feeling of too much, like helplessness. And you're just like, God, but I make things happen. I don't want to feel helpless. And you're like, and you just have to say, sometimes I just feel so helpless. And then you'll just might find yourself sobbing, or you might find yourself crying, or you might find yourself whimpering. And then you're just like, I don't want to feel any of this. Oh, I hate this. And then a moment later you can breathe. And then you're like, actually, I'm not helpless, you know, but for that moment, that was the feeling and that has to be acknowledged.
Okay. So I know that you work with a lot of people who are stuck in fight or flight to kind of get into like rest and digest. And you have this program, Fight or Flight to Flow in 7 days. So I'm hearing that the beginning is really like paying attention, asking that question, letting your sound come out, or like just being present to where you feel that sensation in your body. And there is something quite mystical with these things. Like it's, oh, you just have to feel it to release it. And we hear that, but I know how real it is when you really put yourself to it. What would be another step once somebody lets themselves feel it? Like where can they go within themselves? Or what are some practices or exercises every day to start to bring forward more resilience and more bandwidth, so that when we hear the domestic violence through our window, you know, even I was just having this weird thought the other day with sirens. I feel like sometimes, and who am I to say this? Cause I know nothing, but that police sirens, they're pretty quick to put on their sirens. And I almost wonder, is the hit that everybody's nervous system taking from this siren more of damage than we even think? Like these loud things coming at us that we can't hear. I don't even know where I'm going. I'm rambling. But yeah,
I'm tracking it. So I think, what are the things that people can do? I mean, you're right. There's a reactivity that happens with certain things that we're conditioned. So it's like the Pavlovian, you know, dog salivates when they hear the bell response. The nervous system reacts when we hear the siren, even though we're just walking down the street, but it's, did I do something, you know, or am I safe? Is there something going on around me? But right. We're conditioned to have these reactions. This is part of just how we stay safe in the world. So we've got a nervous system designed to keep us safe. And some of the practices, that's why I start with, and why I say that we have to start with awareness of where we're at first before we start doing a bunch of practices that bring in, you know, connection to, you know, like we want to get into a flow state. We want to be in this synchronized, you know, experience of everything's flowing, everything's working. The world around us is in the world within us are in sync with each other and everything's gliding and smooth and there's no friction and we feel alert and connected and alive. Yes, but if we try to go there and we're feeling the opposite, we're feeling nothing works, everything feels challenging right now, we're overwhelmed, it feels frenetic, it feels like we're grinding, there's effort and struggle, and we're doing these declarations and doing some practices, breathing exercises, you know, doing declarations that everything is flowing, I'm in abundance and all this kind of stuff. And that is at odds or opposite, you know, at odds with or opposite of what we're actually feeling or experiencing, then you're basically trying to do something to change your state. Mm-hmm. It's different than being with what is by surrendering or allowing yourself to experience that. And then what emerges is a different physiology. Mm. What we want to do is create an emergent property that is natural and organic. And that's the only way you can move into what's basically, it's called ventral vagal state. You move from fight or flight and reactivity to receptivity and openness and curiosity and engagement and flow. You move there not from trying to get there by doing a bunch of exercises. You get there from first connecting to where you are and then becoming more connected to the whole experience of your being and what's happening within you, allowing that to be what it is for a moment. And then we can say, all right, now what are some practices? Now I can do a breathing exercise. Now I can do some Qigong. Now I can do some, I can go do a workout. I'm not doing those things now to try to just change my state. I'm doing those now to optimize and enhance. Mm. So what we're talking about primarily right now is there are so many different things that I can guide people to do that are practices for growing energy, for expanding energy, for connecting to your, you know, higher sort of dimensions or access higher sort of aspects of your energy field and the consciousness that's there. But if you're doing that to try to just avoid what you're actually feeling or experiencing, it becomes it's just like a tactic that may or may not even be very effective. So I think for our conversation today is like focusing on this place, this, I call it the paradox of change.
Yeah.
Because everyone who is, you know, even moderately successful in their lives is going to have strategies for navigating stress. And a lot of it's working out, eating well, getting enough sleep, making sure that you're doing, you know, maybe meditating, maybe doing some kind of body work, drinking plenty of water, right? We know the things that support helping us to feel more alive, more vital. But those things can all be happening and we can still have anxiety. We can still be overwhelmed. We can still feel like everything is like difficult or challenging. So rather than go into, okay, here, do these three things, let's start with doing the one thing that is going to bring us into actual connection with where we really are, which is stop trying to change your state to get into a better feeling. Find out where you are right now, really, and acknowledge it. Allow that to express through. And there'll be a natural organic ability to breathe, a natural organic ability to just start to open up. And this emergent property of flow will just start to happen. And then you can start to add on to that practices. Mm-hmm. And so this is not a prescription. Do these three things and you'll get into flow. And yes, I know the work of Mihai Csikszentmihalyi and getting into flow states, there's what's called the flow channel. And usually this kind of flow is created by having a significant challenge, having significantly developed skill sets, and then you push yourself, but you have the skills to step into dealing with the pressure you're creating. And then you hit a point where suddenly your skills and capabilities and the challenge like allow you to sort of transcend the experience and you go into a flow state. I'm talking about a different, that is totally true and totally valid and valuable. And then there's another aspect of it that is a flow that's created not by pushing yourself to the limits, but it's about stopping pushing yourself. Mm-hmm. So in Chinese, the Taoist tradition, they call it Wu Wei, which is like perfect action in the moment with what is without even thinking about it, really. You are just responding in the moment to exactly what is arising and what's needed. And then after that passes, you're just on to the next moment. Mm. And so this is more akin to that, where we're being with what is, allowing it to express through us, letting it move through our bodies. So the holding in your jaw tells me that there's a part of you that is holding on, gripping down, clenching, and it usually has to do with stability and certainty and trying to hold a certain thing together. And so the surrendering might be allowing the jaw to feel clenched and not, and then feel what it feels like to be clenched, and then acknowledging that I'm clenching, acknowledging that I'm holding. And then you might just say, you're holding your jaw. You might just say, sometimes I feel like I'm trying so hard to hold it all together and it feels like I can't. And it feels like it's all going to fall apart and go into chaos. And I feel like everything will fall apart and I literally might die if I don't just hold everything together. And then you might just start crying, or you might just start laughing, or you might just be like, oh God, it's all too much. It's so ridiculous, but it's happening. And there's so much truth in that, and the truth will set you free, that there can be a liberation, and you might find yourself being able to breathe, and then you might find yourself being able to sigh and discharge. And then a moment later, there's energy made available that wasn't available any other way, because you could work on your jaw for hours, and people have done that. Mm-hmm. You know, they go to all these people and they get worked on, they go deep tissue, they dig in there, and it's not releasing, it's releasing and coming right back, because the reason why that's being held is because we're trying to create that, like we were talking about earlier, this sense of like security and stability in a world that is totally uncertain.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we all are clinging for some sense of plans or safety, but the truth is plans are just plans. They move. Life, you know. Okay, I know this is probably too big to get into, but even if you can get into some of it or just a brief overview of it, final question, which is a big one. You said there's 7 layers to our energy system. Can we, just before we go, start getting people introduced to these and percolating on these?
Yeah, we just talked about this whole entire time was primarily the first 2 layers, which is the I call it life force, but you can call it the etheric body, or the subtle, the chi, ki, or prana aspect of the subtle body, which is the energy of survival and the energy of just incarnation. Like, I'm here in this body alive. It's that vital force that is like running things underneath the, you know, even awareness of the emotional system. So that's that clenching of the whole body. Sometimes it's just very visceral. It's not something that we don't have thoughts. We don't even have emotions. It's just like body sensations, vibrations, and qualities. The second layer is the emotional body. And that involves muscle and tendon movement. It involves expression through sound and motion. And that's just tied into all emotional experiences and emotional expression. And so when we talked about the jaw, and we talked about putting your hands on your body, we're really talking about those first 2 aspects that are just very either pre-rational, below the rational mind, thinking mind, and the emotional, which is also below the rational mind. Mm-hmm. And so we spent time there. One of the questions you asked is, what can people do to get into flow, et cetera? Those really more involve, we connect with what is in those first 2 layers, and then we can start to expand. But you have the other layers are one of the mental bodies, which is tied into your like boundaries, rules about things, stories about things, the relational field, which ties into the heart. These also connect with the energy centers. So like the will and the third, some people call chakras, right? But the energy center that's tied into the will is tied into that part of the mind that sets boundaries or creates stories or has challenges with boundaries. You have a relational body, which connects into the heart. Then you have another mental body, which connects into the higher part of the mind, which I call, you know, it's like the identity level, where you can ask the question from a certain consciousness and energy, which is one of these layers. It's the fifth layer, which is who I'm even being right now appropriate for, or even relevant for, the life that I need to be living, right? You can ask that from that higher part of your consciousness. Then you have what I would call the soul, or the consciousness that transcends the mental body. That's the sixth layer. So that's where you just know. I've seen, like, you meet someone and you're like, we have a connection that transcends this life for, yes. I don't know how it all works, but somehow I know you at a soul level. And then you have the seventh layer, which is really where the infinite nature, the universal nature of consciousness, which is non-local. You can't like define or find where consciousness exists in a location. It's infinite and everywhere. That's where our individual sort of expression as a human and the aspect of universal consciousness like meet. So mm-hmm. all those seven layers, it's really called the subtle body, the human energy field, the koshas, they're called in the Vedic tradition. There are different terms that are used, but it's basically the subtle layers or aspects of energy and consciousness that all together, like nested Russian dolls that are like inside of each other, with the body being the densest part. That's what the whole energy system is in these fields or layers. And when you ask about the seven different, you know, layers or aspects, each one of them has a different consciousness. Each one has a different expression in our bodies and our lives. And that you asked, yeah, you mentioned the seven, I have a 7-day challenge thing. That's just a free thing on my website where people can go and learn about how they can move through those layers and start to utilize different practices to create more flow and create more expansion. But we always start with what we talked about in this interview. We talked about mostly the life force, mostly the emotional, and like being with what is, mm-hmm. because that is the foundation that everything's built on. And if you're not connected there, then everything else you do on top of that is on a foundation where you're not even fully connected. And that creates it can grow angst and discord and disharmony, because if you're not connected to really what's going on at a core level, and you're doing a lot of things that feel like you're doing them to just optimize your being and your body and your life, but there's an avoidance element of it, then the thing that's in the shadows is growing even as you're growing these other areas. So the thing that you're avoiding is in a way has a hook on you. Mm. And so you want to unhook or unanchor that first.
Mm.
That's again why I spent the bulk of this conversation talking about this thing that seems so like basic. Oh yeah, be with what is, feel what is, and express that through your body. And it's, oh, that's boring. I want to do, you know, exciting energy things where we call in, you know, other things and all that stuff. But that is like, all of that is
spiritual candy.
It really is. And it can be a lot of spiritual sort of avoidance and bypass, where you want to get to this place and be, and there's a huge significance that can be there, where you want to be able to, in a way, look, I can connect to these other dimensions and realms, and I'm totally energetically connected. Yeah, but is your physiology in vigilance, survival, and protection, and you're not even aware of it? And what would happen if you did connect and you realize that, wow, there was a whole aspect of my life that was running me that I didn't even know was running me, because I never really looked there, because part of me was like, if you look there, if you feel that, you will die. That's part of the freeze mode, the fight, flight, freeze mode. So it's like, why would I spend time there?
Yeah.
But the magic is that as soon as you stop trying to avoid and run away, and you turn and you move toward and you experience what was unexperienced, you're liberated. And then everything else becomes not just candy. It's great, filled with grace and ease and flow. And the flow again emerges, not something we create with these exercises. It's something that emerges. Even Csikszentmihalyi, with talking about flow states, talked about it's an emergent property. It's not something you can just create with your mind.
Mm.
Opposite of that, it's what emerges out of being totally connected and totally in sync and totally in that zone. Mm. So we can do that in our own bodies and in our own lives by finding that zone, by stopping trying to be somewhere else.
This was such a great conversation. I think it gave a lot of people the invitation to start to tune in to like where are you feeling tightness somatically? And what's your intuition telling you that's really about? And can you just sit with that feeling for a second today, a minute today, and air some of it out? It's interesting. You kind of remind me of, have you read David Hawkins' Letting Go book?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So for those of you who haven't read it, it's a great book. Every chapter is in a different, I would say, emotion, I guess, like grief, this or that. And it's all about letting go. And what's interesting is he talks about how basically we're walking around the room or the world like a bunch of balloons full of something, whether it's anger or grief. Everybody has their own thing. My dad has a lot of grief. Like we kind of poke fun at him, which is kind of sad, but he basically will report to us when somebody from high school passed away, but he's 80 years old and he doesn't know that person for like decades. So it's like he has this grief in him where we'll wake up at 7 a.m. when I'm visiting my parents and he's, Fred died today. And we're like, who's Fred? And he's like, from high school. I'm like, when's the last time you talked to Fred? He's like, in high school. I'm like, how'd you find out Facebook? So the point is, it's he's walking around like this balloon with grief and he's looking to air it out. And I think a lot of people have that with anger, right? It's they project anger onto things because they just have this balloon full of it and they're looking to air it out. So I don't know what those of you listening are trying to air out today, but we are here and honored to have you on the episode. And where can they start? You mentioned your website has that 7-day. Where would be the best place for everybody to get moving with you?
Yeah, I mean, people can go to johnamaral.com. There's, a process that I created a few years back that takes people through the different layers of the energy, what I call the energy blueprint, where you can begin to recognize, oh, here's a pattern. How do I work with this? What's an exercise or a practice I can do? So people can opt in for that. And I mean, other than that, there are videos out there. There's a Netflix show that aired a few years ago, but on Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop Labs. So that shows me working with people. So you can get a sense of what it looks like when somebody is, working in those layers around the body, how it actually looks when people are on the table and how they respond. And then there are opportunities to do either private sessions in the LA area, which are very limited, and some retreats and events that I do. Mm-hmm. And then we're working on also creating more digital content in the coming year. Yeah, they'll be able to find me.
Thank you so much, John. I have to catch you for one of those LA sessions. And it's so beautiful to share this with people and kind of recenter. And I even feel my little jaw less clenched. So just the conversation. Thank you for the transfer of energy and take care. Thanks again.
Thanks, Ashley. Appreciated it.
Thank you so much for tuning into the U-Turn podcast. And thank you again so much for our sponsors. We are here because of you. And to our listeners, thank you for checking out our sponsors. We always pick people and brands that we trust and we believe in. And just for listening to the show, writing your reviews on the Apple app, and just being willing to make your own U-Turns. We'll see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast, or Yap, like it's often called by my Yap fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.